I got enough issues and enough things I'm spending money on. Not going to bring him into this.
Well, what kind of costs, like, too, is it not having those tools?
Yeah, that's like, a good, many, yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah, what are you losing out on?
How much what are you leaving on the table by not having that?
Like, how much inventory is dying, or even what kind of deals are you missing out? How much liability are you leaving on the table from HR and, like, not having schedules down correctly and stuff? How much, like, so what are the costs besides, like, what do you have to cost to get in and implement?
We talked about that on the last episode.
This is Restaurant Unconfidential. This is our second episode in our Tech in the Restaurant Industry series. We are flying through the technological galaxy that is the restaurant business on the board the USS Yes Chef Productions. And this stop is going to be an issues and tissues, software issues in the restaurant industry. I am Norwood.
I'm Javier.
And I'm Alondra.
And we are here with episode 2, Issues and Tissues, we have a fun interview coming up. I believe our next episode is going to be with the Bourne Report, so stay tuned for that. But while you're waiting, quick fire, Javier.
Yes.
What are the top tech issues right now in the restaurant industry?
The number one I'm hearing is inventory. Yeah. That's something everyone's trying to grapple with. There's too many layers to it. It's too many in and outs when it comes to, like, your vendors and the EDI connections. And so there's some at this level and there's some at this level. So I think that's probably the number one issue I'm seeing in the restaurant industry. What about you? Whatever are you
just
hearing?
An overall, like, how are we so far behind?
Yeah.
Like, how are we so of adopting new things, of getting things? And I think that leads to a bunch of problems we'll talk about today. Mm-hmm. But, like, how are we, like, cavemen?
Yeah. How are we still here?
We're like, if we're on with a dry race on a whiteboard, like, why are we so much closer to how cavemen were doing it than to, like, how to the other industries around us are working?
Yeah, they're smoking us.
Yeah, you see, like, admin work, and they're like, well, make sure we're on this software for your payroll, and we're doing this with this, and see all these technologies integrated, and then you go to a restaurant in the back, and, like, schedules tacked up on a piece of paper.
Even though we have orders on the whiteboard, layers, and we have it a mess.
Yeah. It's the only industry. Name another industry where, I mean, if you don't cook at home, you're going to a restaurant maybe twice, three times a day.
And no one cooks at home anymore. It's more affordable to go out.
What other industry are you touching like that so many times in your day-to-day life? The restaurant is behind almost every industry when it comes to implementing tech, including farming. We talked about it in the last episode. Mm-hmm. Farming is where drones came from. Yeah. Like, they're leaders in innovation. Yes. We can't even keep up with the farmers.
We can't
even
keep up with the farmers.
What has this done to our industry, and how are we going to get caught up? This week, we're focusing on these issues and more as we build on the foundation that we started last week. So, Hal, I need a burger with extra cheese. I can't do that, Dave. Single cheese is the only logical option. I wish this was the limit to the issues we have in the tech industry right now, but there are a lot of they're actually more simmering right underneath the surface. We're always a step behind our industry, and when it comes to tech and our development, it seems to be mostly as an ancillary to the development in other spheres, or as cash grab, described as disruptors. Last week, Javier broke down the process that he used for developing his restaurant management software. We're going to go into more aspects of beneficial software as we gear up for our great interview next week with the team from the Bourne Report. This week, we'll be focusing on the issues leading with why are we so far behind, talking about software with an industry growth versus a profit growth mindset. We'll talk about the positives of emerging software with some more philanthropic examples, and talk about the businesses that are bringing in software that is focusing on making shareholders happy more than businesses actually using them, benefit from you. Mm-hmm. And hint, we're going to be ranting about delivery apps on that section. That might be a little bit of a call. It'll be a rant corner on that one.
Yeah.
So let's jump back into the USS Yes Chef Productions and blast off.
Warp
but speed. Remember, in space, they can't hear you fry.
That's a good one.
Let's jump right in, guys. Why is it that an industry that touches everyone's lives directly pretty much daily or multiple times a day, if you're like me and you don't cook at home, so far behind in industries like farming, Javier?
This is a good topic for us to talk about. Like, what got us into this position? Mm-hmm. I think it's just there's so many layers within the restaurant industry. All of the other industries have, you know, medical industry, even farming, like you said, they have people that have branched off and jumped into tech. Yeah. Because they understood the end user and what they needed. Restaurant industry, you're a lifer. Like, yeah. You're into the industry and you're a lifer in the industry. Why would you jump into tech? I'm from one of the very rare people that did.
How many hats do you have to wear in that space too?
Yeah, exactly. So you can't add another hat to what you're doing, right? So to me, it's very unique because I'm third generation. I leaned on my family for a lot of things that most typical restaurant owners need to learn from day one. But yeah, I mean, that's what got us in this position is really that we're playing catch up.
Yeah.
We're trying to catch up to other industries. And, you know, like we said, this is an industry where it's feeding the world and everybody's in it. So yeah, I mean, you know, it's the not only wearing all the hats, but we're so far behind on, you know, there's a lot of costs that come into using tech. So it's probably mm-hmm. one of the last things people are like, I got enough issues and enough things I'm spending money on. Not going to bring him into this.
Well, what kind of costs, like, too, is it not having those tools?
Yeah, that's like, a good, many, yeah.
Like, yeah, what are you losing out on?
How much what are you leaving on the table by not having that?
Like, how much inventory is dying, or what kind of deals are you missing out? How much liability are you leaving on the table from HR and, like, not having schedules down correctly and stuff? How much, like, so what are the costs besides, like, what do you have to cost to get in and implement?
We talked about that on the last episode, where it's a lot more expensive not having these tools.
Yeah.
If you don't know what you're analyzing, you don't know where to make changes, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's a good way to increase your... We talked about it in our first series. Mm. And, like, you can increase your margins without touching your price.
Right.
And, like, there's so many other aspects.
Right.
And, like, this is definitely one of them. It's like, instead of leaving that money on the table, mm-hmm. you know, use those tools and implement them. And, like, and so how much has that been costing the mom and pops?
And once you start using tech, you go back and you look and you go, I can't believe I was just taking things off the menu without analyzing it.
Yeah.
I can't believe I was making those changes in the schedule without knowing really where it's coming from. So we're living in a different world, and tech is definitely needed for our industry.
Yeah.
So what does the landscape look like out there for restaurateurs as tech is implemented in the industry, Norwood?
So there's a lot of people out there that are trying to get rich, trying to get loaded on softwares they're bringing out. And so, like, right now, I think that's the biggest thing for people to be diligent.
Yep.
That's kind of like the phrase that pays is, like, do your homework
with
tech right now, because there's a lot of people out there that are trying to make a lot of money and maybe not provide the services that they should, or they're cloning something that does work and then just tweaking it enough so that way they can send something out quickly without having the support systems, having the testing to make sure it actually works.
Do
and
your
stuff.
Homework.
So there's a lot of people trying to get rich on like off of you out there and, like, take advantage of the gap and trying to make these hurdles of jumping into tech and stuff and getting that digital imprint on your business. And so, you got to, like we said last week, do the demos, test the stuff.
Make sure it fits for you.
Be involved. Talk to your partner. You're not your partners, but your neighbors, because you are a partner, your culinary community, you're all partners in that same overall project.
Right.
And so talk to them and see what they're using and stuff. And there's so many people that are trying to pull the wool over your eyes on these things to, like,
and they got an easy great pitch.
Yeah.
And it's gonna sell you. Make sure you do the homework and that it works for you. The demos is a great thing.
So I say, like, look at it. Trying to figure out what's the difference between helpful tech and tech that's built to profit Wall Street.
There you go.
Especially when you're going after these, like, bigger companies to get help from. Make sure it's something that actually helps you and benefits you. And that's a problem I see on the landscape right now, too, is there's a lot of...
Be careful of free. Free has a lot of other attachments.
Free always has a cost downstream.
Right.
Whether it's, like, free, but then you have to order these other things from
us. Yeah, you got to buy every server. You got to buy... There's a lot of...
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
layers.
Be very careful with helpful tech versus like, yeah, something that's just trying to get separate you from those dollars. Like, and like, yeah, and that's anytime you have, it's like a feeding frenzy. Yeah. So you don't want to get caught up in the feeding frenzy. All those hungry sharks taking chomps out of everything that's near them. Yep. You want to be in that shark cage protected. And the only way to get in that is to like do your homework and be educated.
Yes.
Don't sit there with a something that was a good idea and watch it spoil and then stay along for the ride.
Right. Move, change.
Be willing, make sure everything, do self audits and make sure the thing is like right for you still. And don't be afraid to go like, you know, this isn't working for us. Yeah. Like my staff is always complaining about this. There's always something else out there.
You know what? On that point, a few of the most successful restaurants I've seen, they do those self audits regularly. Every management meeting, they go, how did that piece of software work for us?
When I was at Apple, when I was at the Chase Center, that was a big part of our management meetings between the different sectors, was like, you know, what's working, what's not working. Let's talk about like, you know, at the Chase Center, we had 20,000 people coming through. Like, there's, you know, we have to be, what is going to make us successful?
Yeah, you got a lot of voices you got to have to listen to and make succeed.
Exactly. Like it's, it's not, I want this to go like this, and so it's got to work like that. It's like, no, what really works? What really, and like, how do we get those right tools and everything? And then, just keep an eye out for growth for growth's sake. And so some people will be like, this is the new version, get this. And it's like, what was wrong with the old version? Or like, what happened? Like,
if it works for you, it works for you.
Yeah, exactly. So like, we were saying, if it's not working for you, jump ship, be willing to take care of yourself. But at the same time, if it is working for you, stick with what you know, if it's working, like don't be distracted by those pretty like bells and whistles and the shiny little thing over here of like, well, jump ship because we'll give you 10% off of the first month or something. Yeah. And then you're locked into, you've changed systems, you're in a different
price. A lot of owners do that. They see the maybe I was saving money, so I'm jumping. And the management loved their old tools. Like, don't make sure you involve them.
Yeah, because there's always, because if you lose someone and you have to retrain, that's a cost. Right. And so if that other software might have been, you know, 1% more expensive, like with this new than the new one option. But if you're gonna lose some management because they're like, or even workers, like, so like think of those like all full downline costs, and don't go chasing pennies to lose dollars. Yeah, that's you never want to be penny rich and dollar poor. Like these kind of classic antidotes are classics because they absolutely are true.
They're valid.
All right, so let's jump right in, Javier. What's an easy way to tell if you are looking at good software? What are the green flags?
All right, so let's get into the AAA method here to identify beneficial tech. So accessibility, does it reach a large market? Is easy to implement?
That's something we've talked about with stuff every single time. Like, and so many other aspects, like the easier you make things, the more you're going
to
use them.
Yeah. It's, to me, it's, does it integrate into what I need to integrate? Yeah. Am I getting the report at a glance that I need to have at a report? Yeah.
First, there's searching for it.
Yeah, like
I got to put on my pith helmet and go on a safari to try to find a fucking little bit of data.
Yeah. Am I going to dig into the trenches, or is it just given to me at a snapshot? There's certain things that you need specifically that you want. You can find it. But it's go out there, do the demos, and make sure the accessibility is there for you. That's another
part of like that. Can you use it? But can your managers and your staff use it as well?
Right.
Like,
it's not for you. It's not built yet.
Steps you got to go to get this one data that you can fly through. But I mean, you're trying to explain it to someone who might be like ESL or something, who like you're trying to translate to another language. You're trying to like show someone that's not tech savvy. Like,
and don't leave anyone off the table. Like I did in the last episode, we were talking about when implementing and developing Cheddar Suite, I was leaving the employee off the table. I was looking at it from management heavy. Make sure you involve the whole team. Make sure you involve everyone. So that's
accessibility is one.
Accessibility is one. Affordability.
Yeah.
And so, you know, do they have options for both large and small market clients? Is it affordable, you know, on your tight margins? We know margins are tight.
Yeah. Is it made for a restaurant industry versus like something else?
And on that one, I would say set a budget to what you expect to spend on tech. That's what smart people do, so that you don't later on in the back of your mind go, oh my God, I'm spending too much. But no, you're spending your budget. You have a set amount that you've already set aside, but is the software working for you? So now you're not based on the dollars. You're based on the actual, you know, product.
That's a great way to take that not, and it's always a concern. Money's always a concern, mm-hmm. but it's a good way to take part of that kind of off the table of like, I'm setting this budget. That's what I plan on spending. Now mm-hmm. I'm going to go out and look for the best thing to fit that budget. That's really smart.
That's it. So the AAA, we got accessibility. We have affordability. Let's talk about adaptable. Does it work in a fluid market, or does it demand, you know, you bend at its will? Does the company listen mm-hmm. to your feedback and make changes? Every tech company should be listening to all their users.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's not that they're even needing a change. It's that it's already there. You just haven't asked for it to be adapted to your business mm-hmm. into. And for me, the adaptable includes integrations. It includes other software totally. I'm already using. Do they talk to each other?
Yeah, exactly. Because if you have, like you say, another point of sale system you want to use, and you're using a restaurant suite like of software, like, mm-hmm. and are you gonna have to change your entire system from front to back right. to take advantage of this new like P1A sales system you want to, or is this something that as new things come on, then mm-hmm. they're making sure they're adapting and staying modern and stuff?
And
like
I
that.
Even look at adaptable, not even just within the systems, but within your employees. Yeah. Are they easily able to adapt to it?
Yeah,
that's a big one. I mean, you don't want to create something where the, you know, 6 months down the road, they might have figured it out and they're finally using it. Does it help them and benefit them right away?
Yeah, simple. Accessible, affordable, adaptable.
Yep. The can AAA you method.
Yeah, real simple. Love and it. That's where you like, keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah,
the KISS method.
Yeah,
the KISS. Classics. Like, yeah, expand that. Like, applies to tech, even though it's a lot of beeps and boops going on. Like, doesn't mean that it has to be complicated for the person using it. Mm-hmm. Being more complicated. Mm-hmm. Just because you have more buttons to push doesn't mean the product's better.
You're right, exactly. Some of the best products there's nothing. It's just there for me.
Yeah, it's called an iPhone.
yeah, exactly.
Look at that. 1, 2, 3 buttons. That's it.
And it works.
And yeah, and it works great. And like, it's what killed BlackBerry. But simplicity works for a reason. We're literally surrounded by examples of it. So like, run with those examples. I use that. Run with the current. Don't fight it.
Yeah.
It can't all be bad. Let's find some positivity here. What are some good examples of how growth leads to beneficial outcomes for you and your community, Norwood?
Yeah, so like last week we talked about Cheddar Suite, and we had that great interview with Ray on our last series. Mm-hmm. These are great examples of a really solid software that's helping a business run smooth and become more profitable. There are definitely businesses out there that are, and it usually comes from, we talked to Ray, Javier's third generation restaurant. Mm. Ray's parents brought him in the restaurant. He's raised, started bussing suds, his first job in a restaurant. It takes usually that mentality too, to say like, I want something that's going to make our jobs and lives better versus
that's what it is.
One that's like, I want to make money right now. I want to make my pockets fat. And like, it's not, because I'm a big, and I say, I'm big on like a bunch of phrases, but as the tide rises, all our ships come up. And so there's more than enough money out there for us to all make. But our culinary communities can become stronger if like we do things as a group.
Yes. That make That's it how we have to look everyone. At this industry. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been too segmented.
The tools that McDonald's and stuff like that use mm-hmm. are that's where the only movement and technology has been on these big franchises, these international level franchises and stuff like that. But the mom and pops have been left in the dirt. And mm-hmm. so like, so you can have these tools that bring those big boy, tools down to the mom and pops and the people that are just trying to, the food trucks, the things that are, you know, the heart of America kind of like businesses That's that are right. small business
Main
owned.
Street.
Yeah. Main Street kind of businesses. Mm-hmm. Hey, looking down, you get off a freeway and you look mm-hmm. down what should be, you know, Main Street of small town USA. Mm-hmm. And it's like McDonald's, it's KFC. It's all these big signs. And like, and they're able to,
but that's not 80% is mom and pop.
Yeah.
And five so, under five locations.
They need to have like, there's more of those tools that those guys have, so they give them the puncher. They need to be able to
I've
punch
always
up a weight class.
We need to level the playing field.
Totally. And that's what tech does, like these spots where it's actually like people like that have been in the biz that are taking those like need-based projects instead of those like kind of blue sky where it's like, this could work like kind of mm-hmm. thing. Like, I wasn't mm-hmm. like coming from a spot where like, I know I need this. Emerging software to help digitize local markets is really cool. And so what I mean with that is like bringing your farmer's market to your cell phone. And like bring your computer so mm-hmm. you can get on there and get those local products, and it's a digital marketplace for those things to gather. We have Farmish is one, Simply Local. What's the one we have here? I think we talked about that before.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
It's great ways to like get the small businesses that platform the same way a
slow
farmer's
eats.
Market slow eats.
Slow
yeah,
eats,
like,
yeah.
But it's the same way like all those
too
things.
Too good
like,
to go. There's a lot of great. Yeah.
All those things come together in a spot where like you can catch like these local businesses. Some of them do a thing where you can kind of like put together a shopping bag of like a box of different local items. So those are great ways to see like opening up your community and make it more accessible. Yeah.
We tap into that a lot.
Yeah.
And because really that's
community.
It. All my success is from location, and big chains know that.
Yeah.
Like if you see an In-N-Out or a Starbucks or something, they adapt themselves to the community.
Yeah.
Why franchises work. They get a local person that understands the area that has already their following or know their people, and they make it succeed. It's your community.
Yeah, there's so many examples of that. Mm-hmm. It's in Los Gatos. They have halal beef options, like for stuff, because the Muslim community and up in the Bay Area. You go out to Dublin, Texas, and they've got full sugar Dr. Pepper because the community there wants.
And if
the
you don't
sugar.
Know that community, you're gonna fail.
Exactly, it's these little pockets, and then you can reach out to them, and it's using that like reaching out to them, and just dial in your product exactly.
I learned about every restaurant being a little bit different. I tried to cookie cutter it. Everyone was different because my staff was teaching me. Mm-hmm. No, we like this here.
Yeah.
We do this here. And I, you know, okay, cool.
It's how the story you've told, how the Frappuccino got figured out.
Right.
Got in SoCal making summertime smooth, like little icy coffee drink. And, you know, it's what they want. And it becomes, you know, one of the leading coffee beverages.
Yep.
Like it's what is the precursor to how Starbucks has totally revamped their entire beverage.
Totally.
Go from a coffee shop to a beverage space.
Mm-hmm.
And like the Frappuccino is the leader of that. That came from one barista in SoCal being like, it's hot as hell in the summertime. No one's ordering hot coffee.
Yeah.
So knowing your spot, there's software to sell your leftovers as your spot. So if you have baked goods, you got all those spots.
That's a
so
too good to go. We just
too good
said
to go
that.
Is a good
there's
one.
A lot
like,
of apps out there that'll pick
which
that
which is
up.
Great. You like make that second sale. But then another really good option that I'm a big proponent for is like food donations. So there's softwares that have gone into that. So there's like Meal Connect, and then same thing your local community. There's things that help your food runners and food banks connect and everything.
I heard that Caesars just gives out their food at the end of the night before they Little Caesars.
Yeah.
Before they close.
It's smart.
Like if you're, I mean, you're going to throw away, like make people happy. They're going to come back. Exactly.
It's a self-reported
write-off. Yes. Plus, you build a customer that loves you.
Yeah. And everything, we'll go on a little bit of a soapbox. Like there's like that NIMBY, not in my neighborhood, kind of like, oh, we don't want homeless people coming to the back of our restaurants and flocking here. There's no, if you ever want anyone to not be homeless, and to become franchised that's disenfranchised, you can't have someone expect to like spend, you know, 6 hours trying to get across town to take a clean shower and then spend the rest of the day trying to track down food and stuff and then go figure out how after you spent 8 plus 10 hours like your entire day trying to get these necessities dialed down, then go out there and find a job, find someone that'll hire you when you're going through all these things and then pull yourself up, bootstrap yourself up, like which was bootstrapping, pulling yourself up your bootstraps has always been, it was originally supposed to be like, something you can't do. And it's kind of a mockery of like the, that spirit. And,
I'm a fan of donating.
Yeah. You got to take care of people. And then
because then it eliminates from people going to your place or creating disruption, but it's a community based thing.
Yeah.
The people, maybe they're not your customers. The people that are seeing you donate and every other layer.
Well, they're never
going to
become
really
your customer
loyal
unless you do something to help them out.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
That's what I'm saying. True. Like, it's like you got to help out these things. Like, so whatever you can do. So a lot of that's why I always push back on the NIMBY thing is like, no one's ever going to be able to change unless we help them out. And so that's the process of like, what's your end goal for everyone to be housed or something like that and not have these like groups and stuff? Well, then that's going to take a little bit of in the front end.
It's going to take somebody that's doing
food
this.
Donation is a great thing. And so since 1996, the Good Samaritan Law took all the different states' regulations, made them into one federal guideline, and so made a legal term called good intent.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're donating something with good intent, mm-hmm. whether like someone that does spoil in the way, because it switches hands and things right. like that, going from a food runner to a food
that,
bank.
That was a big thing. Is it going to make somebody sick so and then come back?
There's
so, yeah, let's
never,
dig into
there's
that.
Never been a time that that's ever been taken to court or anything okay, since good. About 40 plus years.
Because that's the fear a lot of restaurant owners you have.
It's never happened. It's okay. a fear that
well, then
people
there you
have.
Go. Yeah.
yeah it's a fear that people yeah. that taught in culinary schools. It's every yeah. person tells, like, don't donate because, you know, someone will sue you. And, like, so yeah. someone that's can't rub two pennies together because, you know, they're struggling yeah. is going to get a couple grand together to get a lawyer on retainer yeah. to sue you. It's yeah, not, never okay. going to happen.
Okay.
It never did happen. And yeah, so and what you're doing yeah. is losing money because depending on how you do your tax write up mm. and stuff, and that's what's cool about these software is they can help you kind of line up that tax and everything too, because it's a self-reported donation that you can do, and it's depending on how it works out, you can get almost 60% of what your menu cost or menu like price would be
wow.
for an item. So that's where I always say it's wow. a great thing because too good to go and all those things, even yeah. if it's selling leftovers, that you only profit if you sell them.
No, they don't even profit. They're like literally
yeah.
dropping them down
yeah,
to $2
yeah, exactly.
a bag of bagels.
It's basically covering
just
your food
to get
costs.
It out. Yeah, yeah just covering so, your food costs.
I say, why uh-huh. not make sure you get rid of 100%?
Totally, and make
can,
more.
That you can make that's 50 great. To 60% yeah. On your, and then just get that back once tax season
that's
comes on. Because that's, you know, tax man comes around every yeah, year.
You're
going to no
pay for
what.
It anyways.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So get that money back. And then, like we say, there's always ways to stretch, like get
it.
That margin bigger. And that's a smart way to do it while also helping your community.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, that's someone you take care yeah. of today can become a lifetime champion for your restaurant down the road. Yeah. And like, man, it was rough, but you know, this like restaurant took care of me.
Yeah.
And like, dude, I went back, maybe got a job there. Yep. Show the love.
I love
I speak positively about
them. I've had everybody at every community that I've ever donated to. It's the people that are running the operations and everything. They become the most loyal customers yeah. to you. Because if they're going to spend their money anyways, they're going to spend their money that are aligned with their thoughts
totally.
And what they're doing.
So that's where, yeah, that's, there's great apps too.
That's awesome.
That's, those are all the ways the, technology can help improve things for your community. It's great, great people in that sector, like you guys, Ray, these people we've talked to, our interview next week, Born Report, another big, giant analytic processing tool that these big boy companies have that is bringing it to the mom and pops and people like that. Bringing our opener and markets to everyone. Getting our everything sold out the door and then taking care of donations and stuff.
So it's a Good Samaritan Act of 1996.
Yeah.
That's so what the people can look up yeah. and check. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So dun, dun, dun. Let's dun, dun. Talk about the elephant in the room.
Uh-oh.
Food delivery apps. How are these affecting the current market?
Food delivery app. Let's talk about this.
Yeah. So best case scenario, you're giving them 30%.
Yeah, you're not making money.
On an industry, like, what's the traditional profit margin of a very successful restaurant?
Yeah. No, I mean, okay, so that's great.
8%,
when my grandfather
10%.
Was in it, it was 30, 35.
Yeah.
My dad, 20, 25. Me, I was lucky to hit 15,
yeah.
you know, 18%. Now, people don't hit double digits.
Yeah.
So...
And so, how can you stay sustainable
yeah.
when someone on their best model is taking 30%?
No. Yeah.
And then charging your customer
you're
another
30%. You're losing money. Yeah, totally. You're not, you're yeah. just spinning the wheels. Yeah. Yep.
This is where I was talking about like growth for growth's sake or growth for the
exactly.
profitability of Wall Street
yeah.
investors.
It's fake.
Versus
it's masking
like,
what you're really doing.
And it's taking, it's disrupting, quote unquote, like it's disrupting the industry,
yeah.
but for a long time, a map on the wall
yeah.
and a couple delivery guys and someone who kind of knew the space and who could line up. Like,
I mean, I got it during COVID
yeah.
because you couldn't even open your doors and you needed to get your food out some way. And so
yeah.
mentally, you're like, I don't care if I'm even making money. I need to keep my business alive.
Yeah.
That was it. Things have changed now. I mean, we're open. People are coming in. Does Uber and DoorDash and those, you know, high expensive charges make sense anymore? Not really.
And so they're... And they're not profitable on their own end as well. So it means that they're not sustainable.
Right.
So if you cannot
right.
become profitable,
yep.
you're not sustainable. So at one point, the wheels are going to fall off the cart. And you know what's going to be in the cart? Crashing, going off the cliff.
Yeah, you're
every
going
restaurant,
with them.
Everybody
yep.
who's
yep.
like adapted to that. So
yep.
like when you have a handful of Chinese spots and pizza spots that are local that still have actual delivery guys
mm-hmm.
and everything else is covered
mm-hmm.
between Uber Eats and all that,
mm-hmm.
like what is the outcome? Like, so... I've always kind of saw this, and this will lead us into our topic for next week, mm-hmm. Or not next week, our next full episode with us. Mm-hmm. So we have that awesome interview coming up. But I think that automation is the next step. I think that mm-hmm. like CDs and cassettes yeah. were in between technology to get us from records to streaming.
Right.
That's what all this is right now. Yeah. And I don't think
it's a stepping stone.
I don't think yeah. it's got the legs where it can stay on. Yep. I think these companies, if they are going to adapt, they're going to go to autonomous fleets and yeah. stuff. And then, so that's a way that can bring the price down.
We were talking about that. It's going to be drones. It's going to be things yeah. that are way more inexpensive.
And right now, this is like we were saying earlier, getting in on the ground floor of yeah. technology, going to like tradies and like going out and talking to people and stuff yeah. and getting that on the software and stuff.
Yep.
Like right now it's kind of like that with drones and stuff. Right. Like it's stuff like there's great companies where you can get it to your business and look at the prices of those. If you're out there trying to figure these things out.
I want to bring some, I want to talk about that at some time. Because
dirt cheap yeah, compared the prices to like what they bad. Were. And then you do leases and right. these aren't $1,000 a month. These aren't like, these are hundreds of dollars. And so if you can think of what do you pay a person to do yeah. one shift full time?
Yep.
All right. If you can take that and mm-hmm. think of those budgets and stuff mm-hmm. and then say, okay, all right, okay. Now, I have this budget I'm thinking of.
Oh, instead you take of like, the cost of what you're giving DoorDash or Uber Eats. Yeah. My gosh,
same thing.
You can hire.
Look at all that. Look at your month.
Yeah, look at what you're giving
of,
them. Yeah,
and then look at that and be like, okay, this is a starting budget. Like right. I'm giving exactly. them a third of what I'm. So it's like maybe I'm giving them $2,300 a month mm-hmm. on delivery fees.
Right.
And so you can take that and look like, bam, that's,
can I lease
that's drugs? My budget.
Can I do? Yeah, exactly.
That's my starting point.
Exactly.
And like, yeah. and
I'm so, not losing money now changing to
exactly.
this.
Exactly. And so, and then that's also like, all right, so, and that's taking right. out, they're charging 30% to the customer yeah. too. Bam, get rid of that. Yep. I can eat that cost. Yep. If I'm still in my budget of the $2,300 and I can eat the cost, I don't need to go and say like, all right, now I'm still doing 30% charge and all these little yeah. tacked on fees. No, I can go to the customer yep. as a marketing point mm-hmm. and say like, no added fees. You come, it's our menu price that you get in the store. Mm-hmm. It's the menu price you get and we'll deliver it to your door quickly, efficiently.
Right.
Right. No contact kind of thing. Keep yeah. it nice and safe, everyone. Yep. And then they just open the door. Bam, food's
love
there.
It. Love it. And, you know, there's, okay, so talking about that, there's a couple places that never made the transition. They, like, a couple sandwich shops in town.
Yeah.
Mike, Lincoln, Doobie, High Street, they never adopted the delivery yeah. aspect. And at first I was like, they're missing the boat. You know, these guys are blowing it. They're not actually, yeah. you know, going to make all this money, the revenue they're missing and stuff. Now I'm like, Who cares? We weren't yeah. making money anyways.
Exactly.
And they're treating their customers that are actually going out of their way to exactly. eat there better.
Because that's an it's you need to figure out your brand, your identity. Yeah. And
I now I'm like, I get it.
You can't be a ship just drifting along. You have to plot a course yeah. and you need to have people, everyone needs to be tied in yeah. to like man the ship. Yeah. And we're going on this course. And that's super important part about having like a restaurant stuff is having the identity and being yes. like sticking to it. And
yeah. Like maybe we're already busy enough. That's exactly. that was both of their models. We're already busy enough. Our crews. And I was like, well, who cares if you're making more money? You're really not delivering. And so what's the point? It's better to give the best service to the people going out of their way to drive to your location.
Yeah.
At that point. Than to just do deliveries and not make it.
Yeah, it's something we touched on in our last series. Mm-hmm. We're spending talking about a little bit about the ghost kitchens and the spots that have, you know, yeah. multiple concepts out of like one space. Yeah. Like you're not making good money. Where do those concepts go down the street? Like yeah. When things get negative, do they just dip and go? And then you've depleted your customer base. And yeah. then are you having your employees do 3-4 different sets of menus and you're working them to the
totally.
Bone, like all this stuff, instead of sticking to your identity and
yeah,
being
stick
like,
to
no,
your guns.
We do this well,
right?
We're going to be the best at
right.
this. Like,
just because a new flashy gun, you yeah. know, like you know, squirrel, everyone's like, no.
Yeah, exactly. You, know, you can't get the ADD, financial ADD. Like, yeah. you can't have it. Like, because, yeah. You don't have, because yep. all three of those delis you mentioned mm-hmm. have been here for a while yep. and they're going to be here for a while.
And it's really cool that they just didn't jump on the bandwagon and like everyone else. It almost made their own identity.
Yep. And how much language floats around with these things? Like you have to adapt it.
Get right. in, everybody. In, yeah. I mean, I was the same way. I was thinking the same yep. thing. They're missing the boat. They're missing the boat. No, they're yep. not. They're creating their own identity and it's yep. stronger than everyone else's.
And think back, who's telling you that they're missing the boat?
I know.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, the people selling
you
the product.
You exactly. If the person selling you something yes. is telling you that you're missing out,
yeah.
it's be- It's a one degree separation of the money that you're not giving them. Like, don't let other people touch your wallet. That's what I say. Exactly. By letting them tell you that you're missing out, make that decision yourself. And look at things.
You know your brand better than anyone else. You know where your vision and where you're going. No one else knows
that. You research the location, so you know the traffic that's going to foot traffic. You know, there's so many factors that you went into and picking these spaces that didn't change just because someone with a cool new delivery app came by. That didn't change your whole brand. And so, you got to be on top because, and they know that it's not always the best option. That's why they go into places that don't want to use the service. A lot of them will go in and they'll kind of sneakily put their menus on, and then they'll have the drivers go in there and pick the stuff up, acting like just a regular customer.
Yeah.
Very nefarious, like, on these things, because they know, like, it's not the best option for everybody. Like,
or they go for the big guys, and they go, all the big guys are doing it. You're going to be left behind.
How many of us were growing up and parents tell us, well, if you know, little Billy Johnson jumps off a bridge, you're going to follow him? How many of us have these lessons that were hammered into our heads that we just all of a sudden refuse to listen to all of a sudden because someone dangled something sparkly in front of us?
Do your own thing.
Do your own thing. Buy your own course. You get that. You get that plan. Stick to it.
I like it.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and go into the question from our listener. And their question is, how do I prepare my restaurant for these tech upgrades? Are there any stepping stones, like somewhere simple I can start and then expand to more complicated systems?
I would first look into, does your system or your idea even integrate? There's a lot of that happening. Is first pick the build, and I would even put it down on paper, meet with your managers, lay it out like in the simplest form of what are we trying to accomplish? That's it. And there's the software out there that will integrate. There's the tools out there that will accomplish what you want to, but it's more of, have you figured out what you're trying to accomplish?
Exactly. Because this is another way to get the financial ADD. Like, someone, if you're going out there just, you know, kind of fishing like that and like seeing like, and not having that plan, then people are going to sell you stuff.
Exactly.
Left and right.
Then you're like they say, like a ship without a rudder.
Yeah.
You know, then you're not even on a course.
Yeah.
So map out the course, involve your team, involve your staff, and this accomplishes everyone's goal. Perfect. Let's go find this.
Yeah. Talk to the staff, like you said, get that plan, and then see what software out there. Do the demos. Do the, you know, play around with some stuff. But then jump in both feet. Like, get
now, then you're
integrated.
Not
going to
be veered off into like, oh, I bought this and it didn't work for us. Dummy, we didn't want it anyways. Yeah, lay it out.
But that's if you do the stepping stones and you try to inch in there little by little, you're going to get caught up. Someone's going to catch you on something. You're going to make like, I build cars like as a hobby. I build race cars and I do like racing and stuff, track racing. And it's really fun building these cars, but your systems go together. So depending on like if you're going to do a turbo or a supercharger and do forced induction versus a naturally aspirated engine, and it's just, you know, just regular air cram into a V8 kind of build or something like that. The parts you buy for those,
they all matter.
They matter 100% because even like the headers for a turbo versus a naturally aspirated car are going to be different, and all these little your fuel's different. The way you compress the motor is going to be different between those two. And so, if I'm just buying parts because they're good parts, I might be buying parts that are for this type of build when I'm doing this other type, and so I might have to rebuy them.
Totally, and in 2 months you're selling them for nothing.
Exactly, or they might be slowing down my build. So they might make even though it's a nice part and everything. Because it's not being used in the right application, it's going to make the overall car slower. And this is the exact same kind of thing you get.
And you know, a lot of thing is when you're talking to you're doing the demos and you're talking to the company that's selling you the tech, they ask you for what that roadmap is. They ask you for what are you ultimately trying to achieve.
Yeah.
And I would tell people we aren't for you.
Yeah.
And but they knew what they were trying to achieve. So I instantly go, it's not a good customer for me because they're going to leave me in a month when they figure it out anyways. It's not good for
them. A good sign. Like, we were talking about good signs for tech and stuff earlier. Yeah. Collaborative conversations is something you should be looking for. Yes. That's a good thing that you brought up.
Yes.
But someone should be willing to tell you that you're not the right fit for them.
Yes.
And if it's 100% yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, don't trust them.
Exactly. It's like someone trying to sell you like snake oil. If it's always positive, the world's not always positive. Everything doesn't fit. Like we live in the real world. We're trying to make sure our listeners live in the real world because that's where they are, and that the advice we give them pertains to the real world, not this fantasy world.
We've lived it. We've lived it. We're doing exactly.
Like real. You want to have real solutions for real situations, not theoretical stuff. That's why we brought this. We're doing this project because we have, decades upon decades of experience. You have three generations. My parents had a restaurant. Like we have all this experience that we want to bring out because we can say this works because it did work for us. Yeah.
And with tech, we were talking about earlier, right now, it's barely catching up in the industry.
Yeah.
And we started this whole podcast with that. Sometimes you do, you'll bring up that roadmap and you'll say, well, I want it to do this and this and this. Some of those tech companies will come back and go, that's on our roadmap and we will develop it within a certain amount of time and whatever.
Yes.
So keep that in mind too. It might be a perfect software for you 6 months down the road, but they're almost there. We're all playing that same game when it comes to tech. They're all inching their way there. Just find the people you trust, the people who have, are aligned in your roadmap and
Yeah, go I like that coming out of that collaborative communication being such a big thing. Like,
especially with tech.
But yeah, that's honestly like our last episode's question. Like, there's no easy answers for these things, and like, and it does take talking to your team, making that roadmap, sticking to your guns, and then like picking what's best for you and getting all of it going.
Finding the team that is going to help you create that roadmap. Yeah. Maybe they haven't already, but they're on they're going that way, or that. You can already pull it together.
Yeah. So, this week's discussions are full of ups and downs with examples of the good, the bad, and the ugly of restaurant software. The good news is that there's always light on the horizon, especially in a market that is growing and has so much room to grow. We might hit some bumpy roads, but that happens when the freeway hasn't been built yet. And the freeways are coming, but they might not be where you think. Next episode, we're going to be talking about integrating automation, which includes drones for delivery that takes it to the skies. But before that, we'll have a great interview with the team from the Bourne Report, who take analytics to the next level with affordable options, so even mom and pops can take advantage of the same tools that the largest companies use for success. Thank you so much for taking some time and listening to us jabber. We'll see you next week and appreciate you guys.